If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning. Welcome to the Next Title studio this morning. Retiring Ada County Commissioner Rick Isaguirre.
Good morning.
Welcome. Well, Rick's one of four people in Boise who remembers when I was young.
I'm sure. Hopefully, there's more than four, but yeah. One of the top four at least.
Yeah. Let's talk about the time that you've been an Ada County Commissioner. You are the longest serving Ada County Commissioner.
Yeah, I'm pretty
How
proud of that.
How long are you?
I won't take that on. Okay. Anyway, it's my 14th year.
Yeah.
Actually finishing my fifth term, so it's been an interesting journey and. I truly enjoyed the opportunity. What a great experience. I'd recommend it to anybody that has any interest in local government to step up and run for an office. So I've enjoyed the ride and looking forward to retirement.
Let's talk about some of the things that have happened during your
time. Let me ask him a question first. Why?
I'll be over here.
Why did you run for office? I always wonder what prompts people to run for office.
That's a good question. You know, prior to being a county commissioner, I was active in local government in Eagle. I was the mayor for 5 years on the city council. And I guess in my career and in my life, you know, in high school, I was involved in student council and class president. And
it's been a lifelong thing. Then.
Yeah, that's where I've always enjoyed it. And I've always enjoyed the local level. I don't have any interest in the legislature or anything else. City county is where I found my interest. And I think the reason for that, I like being involved and I like trying to, you know, solve local problems and finding a way to give back and seeing solutions and compromise and good things come out of that. So that's what's kind of drawn me into it, and I really enjoyed it.
Okay, now let's talk about some of the things that have happened since you've been commissioner. You paid off the courthouse lease early. Tell us about that.
That's been a big deal. You know, in the current courthouse that we're in right now opened in 2002, and there was a bond passed to actually fund the construction of the courthouse at that time, and it was a 20-year lease, and we were up in a position to cut that back about 5 or 6 years by saving money and paying it off early and saving about $6 million to the taxpayers, which is I guess it shows that we're conservative and we're trying to look out what's best for the taxpayer.
Makes sense.
So that's been a big deal.
And anybody who's ever paid a house off early knows how much money you save, a bunch.
Yeah, over time. So that's been good. A lot of other things that I've been a part of and great projects. I certainly don't take full credit for any of them. You know, it's been a pleasure to be a part of them. But there's obviously other commissioners and a lot of other folks that have been a part of making it happen. The most recent one you'll see happening right after the first of the year is the new Ada County Dispatch Center. That's been a huge project, and it's not something you do every day. You know, it's had a lot of issues as it's been built, because, you know, it's something like that you only do once in a lifetime. You don't do it every day. So
that's
the technology's changed so much and definitely needed. It'll provide a higher level of service when you call 911 and reverse 911 and a lot more capability. And
Population Center is now in Meridian, so it's needed.
Yeah, it's off of Pine and Locust Grove, and it's on what we call our West Ada County campus over there.
And the Barber Park Event Center.
Yes, that was one of the first projects we took on after I took office with Judy Peavy Durr and Fred Tillman, and that was Judy's vision to put that together. We got a grant from the federal government, and we contributed to it, and it's been very successful. It continues to get better. You know, we rent it frequently for weddings and funerals and meetings and retreats and whatever.
It's a beautiful
setting.
But it's
a beautiful setting. Yeah. In every season, every time of the year, it's been great.
All right, we need to take a break. We're talking with outgoing Ada County Commissioner Rick Isaguirre.
Remember, you are listening to Paul J. and Chris on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 8:49. It's Idaho Talks Live. And our special guest in studio is Ada County Commissioner Rick Issaguire, who will be retiring from the Ada County Commission after 14 years. And we're talking about some of the things that have happened during the time that he has been there. Expo Idaho has a new entrance.
Yes, it just opened last year, as a matter of fact. We spent $2 million of money on upgrading the entrance, and I'm sure you've all seen it. It's
Boy,
very
that
awesome.
Is, that's big
it's
time.
Very nice.
That
yeah.
is big time.
It's beautiful.
And a good point to make there, I think, is that it's what we call an enterprise fund. It's a self-sustaining business. The profit that it generates goes back into that event. So there's no taxpayer dollar spent out at Expo Idaho, and it even makes it more enjoyable when generally when the public hears that.
ten years ago, this opened, the Faces of Hope Victim Center. Tell us about that.
Right. That's been a huge success. That was an idea that former prosecutor Greg Bauer came up with years ago. And Senator Crapo arranged a grant for us to give us some seed money, startup mm-hmm. money to get that project going, and Ada County's continue to fund it. It's the Family Advocate Center and Education Services, I believe is what FACES stands for.
Oh, makes sense.
Yeah, and it's a place for victims of child abuse, sexual mm-hmm. abuse, women and children, men, whatever, can go in a private setting and receive every level of service from medical, law enforcement, whatever. It's one-stop shop for those people in a very private setting. And current prosecutor Jan Bennett has took on the challenge to even improve that. And I think it's been a great thing for Ada County. Very successful.
The list of things that you've been involved in and have spurred on is probably longer than we have time for.
Sure.
What's the one that you're most proud of?
The one that I'm most proud of?
Outside of being on this show, of course.
Then the second most proud.
Yeah.
Let me go back to my time at Eagle. Sure. One thing in Eagle that I did as mayor that I worked very hard on over quite a few years is the Eagle Library. And I live back behind the Eagle Public Library. And this would have been in early 90s. There was a committee that got appointed to have a new library built. The mm-hmm. old one was downtown where the historical building was. Very small area, very dated. And it was a good 2 or 3 year process for this committee. We tried to pass a bond 2 or 3 times. Third time it was successful in getting a bond to build it. But just seeing the success of that library over the years and the fact that it has my name on the front of it as mayor, you know, as a part of the legacy has been a huge deal for me. At the county, you know, quite a few things. I don't know if I could dial in on one specific thing that I've been a part of. You know, the Barber Park was a very positive thing. A lot of changes out at the Ada County Jail for the sheriff with upgrades to the jail system. Jail medical, you know, prior to, I think we spent about $6 or $8 million about 8 years ago to improve jail medical. There's actually a small, you could almost call it a hospital, operating in the interior of the jail. We were at risk for lawsuits for not providing a better level of medical care, and we upgraded that, and I think that's saved the county and the taxpayers a lot of money in just the way we provide that service. So that's been good. A lot of things on Greenbelt. I've always, even at my time in Eagle and again at the county, working on Greenbelt expansion, and not that I use it that much, but I recognize the value. I need to use it more, awesome. But it's what an asset for the area. And we just recently repaved section of the Greenbelt, and there's plans to do more next year. So,
and there's the Ada Eagle Bike Park and the Oregon Trailhead, and you've been part of a lot of stuff like that.
The Ada Eagle Bike Park I've touched as a mayor, and then I crossed over to the county, and it's a joint Ada County Eagle partnership, and obviously we've stumbled and we've made some great success here the last couple of years, but it's up and running, and that mountain biking, you know, the opportunity that provides, I didn't realize how big of a deal that is, how many people actually do that now. It's huge.
Yeah.
That bike tremendous. Park in Eagle is one of the best in the country, if not the norm.
Open space has been huge for you, too, along the
Yeah,
I've
always
front.
Supported open space, and glad to see that happen. And
but there's such a list. It includes juvenile court services in Meridian and the paramedics admin building and the EMS stations and let's see, solid waste landfill office, and of course that
the scale that, house, that's pretty cool.
That has certainly changed a lot up there.
Yeah, and that's another enterprise fund. That's an area where people don't have much of a clue as to what's involved in managing trash. You know, you put it on your doorstep and it's gone. That's what most people think.
Yeah.
That's what I used to think.
Miracle.
But there's so much to that that the average citizen doesn't have a clue about. And it's fun to learn and watch that.
It's funny, if you haven't been, and Chris and I went through this a couple of years ago, if you haven't been to the landfill for a while, my goodness, the thing is incredible. Absolutely. And you've done budgetary things, too, that have been off the charts.
Yeah. Yeah. We've tried to be very conservative. Not conservative enough for some people, but you know how the job goes. You can't please everybody, so you try to do what you think is best. So.
We have just about a minute. Do you have any advice for the new commissioner?
Sure. Lots of advice.
Good luck.
You know, I think, you know, he's wrapping up his campaign cycle. We've all been there. You know, and we come in with a lot of preconceived ideas about what county government is and how we function and all the changes you're going to make. That's not very realistic thinking. But the best advice I could give the incoming, my replacement, is that, you know, be a good listener, lay back, take your time, learn the system. There'll be a lot of people working you, lobbying you, trying to, you know, to get your support and maybe not always giving you the best information. So you need to make sure that you study both sides of the issue and then weigh in. I think you need to expect, you know, I tell people a good year and a half, 2 years before you figure out the system. I thought I knew being in city government, I could jump over to the county. It's the budgeting cycle is different. The whole processes are different. And you got to cycle through it a couple of times to get it and just be patient.
It's patience. On behalf of Ada County citizens, Chris and I would like to thank you for all you've done and for the time you put in on this program. I don't know how many times you've been here, but a lot.
I've always enjoyed visiting with you. You've always treated me great, and I appreciate that respect, and I think a lot of you guys also.
All right, thanks. Merry Christmas. Rick Izaguirre, outgoing Ada County Commissioner, has been our guest. KBOI News Time, 8:56. Idaho Talks Live comes up after a news break at the top of the hour.
We're talking about it.
They're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. I got something I have to read, and actually you... forwarded this on to me, and it's about something coming up tomorrow. The Boise Civil Air Patrol will be laying, and this is a great thing, 1,100 wreaths on veterans' headstones at the Morris Hill Cemetery, Veterans Field of Honor, beginning at 3 p.m. The public is invited to participate and lay a wreath to honor our fallen veterans. Morris Hill Cemetery, of course, is on Latos Street, where it meets Emerald, right up there at the you know, top when you go up Americana. And he goes on to congratulate me for being a friend of CA. I was actually in the Civil Air Patrol years and years and years and years and years ago. So Colonel Dave Guzman of the Civil Air Patrol.
Yeah.
So that's tomorrow, 1,100 wreaths on veterans' headstones at the Morris Hill Cemetery Veterans Fields of Honor, beginning at 3 o'clock. If you'd like to participate, just be there.
You've been to Arlington National Cemetery.
I have.
Yeah, the first time I ever went there, we happened to get there.
Awe-inspiring.
Well, yeah, it really is. We happened to get there just at the right time to see a foreign dignitary lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And that's an incredible ceremony to watch. And I remember... there were about 200 people standing there watching, and no one made a sound, not even the little kids. They just were standing there awestruck.
Yeah, it's larger than life. That was lucky you got to do that. They didn't have anything like that when
Well, and they just periodically have them. You don't really have a schedule. It's just that, and this was a guy that I think he was the head general of the Air Force in Romania or something of that nature.
Yeah.
You know, it was somebody that we hadn't heard of, but it was just a great ceremony to watch.
Yeah, it's awesome. If you've never been there... let's say no trip to Washington, D.C. Yeah, if you haven't been there, let me put that caveat on. No trip to Washington, D.C. is complete without a side trip to Arlington. It's just across the bridge. You know, it takes 5 minutes.
And you're there at the graves of all these just incredible people, whether they were, you know, JFK is buried there. And, of course, most every military hero you've ever heard of. And there's a monument to the Challenger astronauts.
Spacecraft.
Just on and on and on, the things that you can see. And
it's tremendous.
It's awesome and somber at the same time.
Yeah, and if you can, I know it's traveling is not the cheapest.
No, it is not.
But if you
however,
can,
it is the most expensive.
Yeah, if you can, take your kids, whatever, to see that kind of thing. It's awe inspiring. Washington D.C.
Indeed.
It's amazing. All right, we always wonder about, you know, we've been hearing about the Fed's going to raise the rate. The Fed's going to raise the rate. For what, 10 months?
Yeah.
This whole year.
And they haven't the entire year.
Until now.
Until now, exactly.
Yeah. The Federal Reserve decided yesterday to lift its benchmark short-term interest rate by a quarter of a percentage point. And we were wondering, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to Chris? What does that mean to Paul J? Is that going to help us, hurt us? Is it going to be harder to borrow money? Are you going to make money off your money? What does that mean? So we'll try to explain that to you.
Uh-huh.
It's likely to have a domino effect across the economy as it gradually pushes up rates from everything from mortgages and credit card rates to small business loans. Now, that sounds bad.
Well, the word gradually sounds not well. I mean, it doesn't sound great, but it's better than, you know,
immediately.
It's better than the word suddenly. Let's put it that way.
The Fed also forecasts slightly faster increases in the next few years. They're actually talking maybe three raises next year. There are a couple of wild cards.
Are we talking each one a quarter point, or are they going to go crazy?
Well, they say similar.
All right.
Three similar hikes next year. So if you have three of them, then it's a full point and it starts to mean something. There are a couple of wild cards in the mix that could have a bigger effect on borrowing costs than the Fed. President-elect Donald Trump's plan to cut taxes and spend up to $1 trillion to upgrade infrastructure, combined with forecasts of rising oil prices, already has driven up inflation expectations. Sweet. And long-term bond yields in recent week, such factors could play a significant role again next year. So, you know.
See, and that's not particularly optimistic.
No.
It might be completely realistic, though, so that's, you know, disappointing.
Yeah. Fiscal policy may have a bigger say than the Fed interest rate decisions, according to John Canale, chief economic strategist for LPL Financial. That would mark a shift from prior years when Fed action had an outsized effect on a slowly growing economy. And I don't know if they're trying to get it moving now or what.
Well, shouldn't they be?
They should be. Yeah, because it's been stagnant.
So let's just assume that that's what they're trying to do.
The Fed's decision to lift the federal funds rate, which is what banks charge each other for overnight loans, could have at least some effects on consumers. Mortgages. 30-year fixed mortgage rates already have climbed from 3.47% to 4.13% since late October, costing the holder of a $200,000 mortgage about $75 a month. Now, it doesn't sound like that much, but $75 a month.
That's all you've got.
Yeah. I mean, that's $1,000 a year, and all of that because 10-year Treasury bond yields have jumped nearly a percentage point since September, partly on Trump's fiscal stimulus plan and faster inflation forecasts. So are we turning loose inflation here? The Fed's key short-term rate affects mortgages and other long-term rates only indirectly. Yesterday's anticipated hike, and this is what drives me nuts.
What's that?
It was already priced into mortgage rates.
Yeah.
Before it happened.
Well, that's like how when there's a rumor that oil prices are going up, the gas stations, you know.
Yeah, what have we heard all week? $3 a gallon gas.
Right.
And, you know, I filled up for $1.93 last time I filled up.
So did it cost you more to get the gas? No, but we heard in the future it's going to, so we decided to take action now.
Exactly.
And I'd like to say I admire that, but I do have a car, so I don't.
Yeah, but when the cost of oil or whatever goes down, there's like a lag time before prices go down. It's not fair.
Yeah.
Unless you own oil stocks.
Like this. And they go down like this. Yeah.
Three more quarter rate bumps next year could lift mortgage rates by a total of another 0.3 point, according to Greg McBride, chief economist of Bankrate.com.
So a quarter point worth maybe $75, you said? Or a full point?
Yeah, now see, and this says now that would mean an additional $44 a month in payments on that $200,000 mortgage.
All right.
Now, what I don't understand in this story, they bumped it a quarter, went up $75.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to bump it three quarters, it's going to go up 44. Doesn't make any sense.
You're right. It doesn't.
That's why we're not in the economic sphere.
Yeah.
914.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
All right, quickly, how it will affect you. We talked about mortgages, auto loans. Typical 5-year auto loans will be more directly influenced by a quarter point increase in the Fed's key short-term rate.
Oh, great.
With a 4.25 car loan rate rising a similar quarter of a point or $3 a month. McBride says Wednesday's move is another three similar rate increases next year would increase the monthly payment for a $25,000 car by $12. So it's not going to break you.
Yeah, just going to nibble us to death.
Good point.
Like a piranha.
Yeah, good point, yeah. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, credit cards and home equity lines of credit. Revolving loans with variable rates such as credit cards and home equity lines of credits will feel the most immediate impact.
So are credit card rates going to go up to, say, 30%?
I hope not. Average credit card rates are about 16.25, while home equity rates are about 4.75, according to Bankrate.com. Banks should pass along quarter point increases in the federal funds rate within weeks. So your 4.75 will be 5, your 16.25 will be 16.50. Bank savings rates. This is what everybody with any money at all wants, because you can't make money off money. Since banks will be able to charge a bit more for loans, they'll have more leeway to pay higher interest rates. They'll have more leeway, but will they use it?
So it's a guarantee that they're going to raise it? No, it's not a guarantee.
Good point. Don't expect a fast or an equivalent rise in your savings accounts. Savings accounts are not like zero or 0.02 or something like that.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Now, it's a guaranteed 0.02, but, you know. So
if you have like $30,000, you get like 58 cents a month.
You'd actually probably do just as well, putting all your trust in the game of blackjack.
Yeah. Since the recession, Americans have been keeping a lot of their money in banks, so the banks don't have to offer incentives to draw in more deposits, because they got a lot of money in their banks. Also, low interest rates have spelled narrow profit margins for banks for years. They now have an opportunity to benefit from a bigger margin. As a result, bank savings and CD rates may rise only after a lag of 6 months or more after a Fed move. An increase of a percentage point in the Fed rates may lead to a rise of just 30 or 35 basis points in savings and CD rates. I don't know what that means.
It means there will be people able to take advantage of the rise in rates, and I don't think we will be them.
What's a basis point? May rise 30 basis points.
I don't know. That's one that's beyond me. I'd be glad to look it up, but I don't know right this second.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the phone.
Basis points.
Let's go to Steve of Boise.
I led the league in stolen basis points.
Hello, my friends. How are you today?
We're good. What's up?
Oh, man, I haven't talked to you in a while, Paul James.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this whole interest rate thing and that type deal, I think that's part of the him trying to, if you notice Janice Yellen, what she said yesterday was, you know, now that the economy's really starting to pick up and do great, you know, we feel that it's the time. That's just another cover for this administration that has been deplorable, in my opinion. But beside that point, they have to do something to make it look like something's happening out there, even though it's the worst growth. He's had the worst growth of any president ever in history for the economy. But, you know, that's beside the point. But did you guys notice last night, did you hear about Ray Lewis and Jim Brown, the ex-pro players?
Yeah, they met with Trump?
Yeah, well, yeah, they went and met with him and said he was a brilliant man, and he's finally asking the African-American community their opinion and how to help the areas. And they had a lot of good things to say about him, you know, as far as, hey, we think he's got the right idea, he's on the right track, get the NFL players involved, get the basketball players, get people who come from these areas and experience this life and get them involved in building their own communities and ask their opinion. President Obama didn't even go there. He wouldn't even go to these areas. So in my opinion, we might be on the right track here, guys. And Bill Gates said he might be the next John F. Kennedy. Well, we'll see. I mean, yesterday he gets the most brilliant minds in the world together in one room and ask their help, and let's all work together. I never saw President Obama doing that. He said we couldn't get the jobs back, if you remember what he said a year ago. How are you going to do that? You can't make them come back. IBM's coming back with 50,000 jobs. He's done more before he's the president, in my opinion. So we'll see. You guys have a great day.
All right, thanks.
Found out what a basis point is.
Okay, what's a basis point? Quickly.
It is 0.01%. So it's 0.01%. That's a basis point.
So 30 basis. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Never mind.
It would be 0.3%.
Well, that's something.
Yeah.
KBOI News Time, 9:26. I find I neglected to give the KBOI rewards code, which was RATES, R-A-T-E-S, RATES. Go to 670KBOI.com, enter RATES, earn today's 5,000 rewards points. Talking about the Fed's quarter point raise of today and the fact that they have three, at least at this point in time, more quarter of a percent raises on the docket for next year. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. Let's go to the phones and Mike in Garden Valley. Mike, oh, hang on. It's easy to forget what you're doing here if you don't know what you're doing. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Just a quick note on, you know, how all this is going to affect the oil and gas industry. I've been a consultant in the oil and gas industry for about 35 years now. What happens with the gas stations is they get an inkling that there's going to be a raise in the prices, so they raise their prices in anticipation of buying, having to pay a higher price for their gasoline.
Right.
And then when it goes down, the excuse is, well, we've already paid this high price for what we've already bought, so we can't drop it now because we paid all this high price for it. So it kind of gets you coming and going.
Yeah, they do. They really do because the gas they're selling at the front end, you know, they bought it at a cheaper rate, but they're charging you like they bought it at the raised rate, and then at the end they drop it immediately. Boom. Or raise it immediately. Sorry.
Yeah. One other quick note that you all, or the public probably isn't aware of, the whole southern Idaho and even up to Spokane is all the gasoline and diesel and avgas, it comes through two pipelines coming from the Salt Lake refineries. One was built in 1938, and the other one was built in 1939. And they crossed the Boise River maybe 20 times.
Really?
Yes. And so if the – and it was – it used to be the old Salt Lake pipeline. It was bought by Chevron, and then now it's owned by Tesoro. And, of course, it goes over to the tank farms there on Orchard, and then from there – a single pipeline continues on and crosses the Snake River and goes on up into Spokane. But one of these days, there's going to be a proposal for a new pipeline system to take care of that all of those liquid petroleum products. And I sure hope the public is all for it, because otherwise we won't have any gasoline or diesel fuel.
You think these old pipelines are about done?
Well, then the original thought was that they would last 50 years. So you tell me.
Yeah, that's come and gone. All right, good stuff. Thanks,
wow.
Mike.
Like we're 30 years past that. Holy cow.
Yeah, that's not encouraging, is it?
Instant message here from Dave of Boise. He says, how can Donald's plan raise anything yet? He is not.
Exactly.
He is not even the president yet. I see our government is
it's a mindset.
Jumping the gun to cover their financial butts. They know the storm is coming. It should be a very interesting next 4 years in this country. Yeah, and that's I made fun of that in the news because somebody said, this will be one of the most interesting next 4 years we've ever had.
I think you might. Let's go to Gary of Emmett. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, Gary.
You know, Janet Yellen wasn't elected. And the Federal Reserve is on our money, but it's not a government agency. Our money is a Federal Reserve note. Well, anyhow, you know, first of all, you know, the whole system of Federal Reserve is really, really wrong. It's extra or unconstitutional. But besides that, you know, what they're doing is inflation is too much money chasing too few of goods, and they're trying to prevent that, and interest rates pull money out of the system. By the way, it goes to the Fed. It also has an impact on how much government pays on bonds, the interest rate they pay to be able to sell those bonds, and that has to do a lot with how much governments pay to service the debt they have. And with $20 trillion of debt at the federal level, you know, that is a whole lot. If inflation happens, there is a chance that just the interest on the debt would bankrupt the country, because we're so precipitously poised, you know, at this tipping point because of the debt the government owes.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so this is, you know, a little bit of inflation kind of helps the economy. It spurs the economy. Too much drags it down. And they're there trying to moderate it, but they're not the government.
Yeah, that's very true.
No, yeah, and you're right. They're not. Their main job is to prevent things like panics and disasters and whatnot. And yet, since we've had the Federal Reserve System, which is, you know, over 100 years now, we've had a depression, we've had several recessions, and I'm just wondering, you know, how effective are they?
Well,
never mind the fact, too, that after the depression and after each recession, they've gotten a little stronger in what they're allowed to do.
Well, they're a bank, and a bank is in business, what, to make a profit for themselves. And I'd like to know, they won't let them be audited. And I'd like to see the Fed audited to see what they're making out of the whole thing.
Well, that would be nice.
You know, when this stuff like this happens, what you're saying is that some private group of individuals, some appointed by government officials, some not, are actually running the economy. If you're talking about the grand conspiracy theory, well, there you go.
Right.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Gary. Got to take a break. KBOI News time, 9:44.
Governor Butch Otter may be up for a position with the Trump administration. Details coming up on 670 KBOI. Back now to Paul Jay and Chris.
All righty. Thanks, Rick Worthington, talking about the Feds raising the rate 0.25% with 3 more 0.25% raises on the table for next year and what kind of an effect it would have. We've talked about that. Let's go to Rich of Boise. Rich, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, well, okay, first of all, Steve, as usual, was clueless. Gary was right, but a little alarmist. Here's the deal. I mean, Chris said that the economy has been stagnant, so maybe the Fed's doing this to get it going. I'm sorry, Chris, but it's completely the opposite. We've had the longest term of growth in decades. It's been under 3%, but it's been continuous growth. We've had the longest term of growth without a recession. The Federal Reserve, this is where Gary was right, is not part of the government. The Obama administration doesn't control what the Fed does. Presidents have tried. They've asked the Feds to do things. Sometimes the Fed listens. Sometimes they don't, but they don't control the Feds. They're raising interest rates because they're afraid that the economy, from the way things are looking, the last quarter, the economy growth went up quite a bit. They're afraid that the growth is going to start. Look downtown Boise, all that's going on. They're afraid we're going to have too much growth, which is going to be damaging to the economy. And to Gary's point, and these people talked about the Federal Reserve, do you know who would control interest rates if we didn't have the Federal Reserve?
Well, just individual banks, I would imagine.
No, the United States Congress. Congress gave control to the Federal Reserve. If we didn't have the Federal Reserve, we'd get in a Congress. I don't know if it would be Republican, it would be Democrat. Either one would probably do it. They would get in there and they would start meddling, raising or lowering interest rates to suit whatever agenda they had going, and we'd be in a constant, either nothing would happen when we needed stuff to happen, or it would just be going crazy. Congress put that into the hands of the Federal Reserve because they realized that they were incompetent to run it. And it's not unconstitutional. The Constitution says Congress has the right to monitor the money. Congress chose to give somebody else that right. They could take it back anytime they want. But it would be chaos. I mean, you know how Congress works. You get one party in there, they're going to do one thing, and we'd never know what was going to be going on. But they're trying to slow down the economy, and it has nothing to do with making Obama look good. They're trying to slow it down. It's like steering a big ship. You got to start a long time in advance, and you got to do it real slow.
All right, good stuff. Thanks.
And in Congress now, I mean, as we've said many times, the point is not to get anything done. The point is not to progress. The point is not to, improve anything in particular. And I realize not everything needs improving. Some things are really good by themselves. However, the idea of any legislation, it seems, is just simply to win. Our side put forth a bill, and nobody from the other side is going to support it, so we have to figure out some way to win. Is it because the bill is good? No, it's because we want to win, and both sides do that.
Yeah, sadly, that's true.
And I always feel like every time I think of that, the face that comes into my head is Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. Earlier this morning, we talked about Arlington Cemetery and Washington, D.C., and how everybody should go to Washington at one point or another.
Yeah, I mean,
if you can possibly afford it.
If you have the means and if you have children, I would suggest at least planning a trip sometime.
Yeah, and it'll be more educational, more awe-inspiring, more instructional for your kids than any national park. Let's go to Mike and Wilder, who had a trip to Washington that changed him. Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. I've been to Washington, D.C. 3 or 4 times, and I'm always just blown away. It's just very awe-inspiring. Spent a whole day by myself at Arlington, just walking around. I went to the ceremony held for the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. It's just absolutely stunning, and the impact that it makes upon you when you realize you can walk among soldiers that fought during the Civil War and so on. It really is overwhelming, but something topped all of that in my life, and that was I took a little couple-hour trip north of Washington, D.C. on one of my flights back there to Gettysburg, and I ended up spending about 5 days at Gettysburg.
Wow.
It's about half an hour northwest of Baltimore. And I'm going to tell you something. I've never been impacted by something in history that we have commemorated more than the battlefield of Gettysburg. Every unit that fought in that war, both North and South, have monuments present on the battlefield that not only marked where that unit fought in the battle, but a lot of them also indicative of the mascot or the name, the nickname of the regiment, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be able to sit there on the rocks at the Devil's Den, and
you can feel people there with you, can't you?
You can feel people there with you.
I've been there, and I've been to Bull Run and a bunch of those down in Virginia. A lot of the old battlefields from the Civil War and the Revolutionary War, and you just kind of stand there and you can see it happening in your mind. It's weird.
I had just seen the movie Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went back there and realized some of the battles they commemorated in that movie, the charge down the hill at Little Round Top,
mm-hmm.
It just to be able to sit there and be surrounded in that environment, it was awe-inspiring, and it was almost like I could hear battles taking place as I think just about every tour that they had. Available. In fact, you can buy a set of cassette tapes or probably now they're on CDs, and you can drive around in your car.
Like a guided tour, right, yeah.
And give yourself a self-guided tour, and then you can stop at any of these locations as long as you want and then get back in your car and continue on.
We kind of got to wrap it up, but let me ask you one more question. Have you seen the movie Gods and Generals?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good, because I was going to say there are two movies in that set.
Yeah, well,
if you've seen Gettysburg, you need to see the other one.
Gods and Generals came out second, but it actually predates what happened to Gettysburg.
Right.
And, of course, it has Stonewall Jackson, and he was dead by the time Gettysburg took place. But I'll tell you what, if you're going to be in D.C., do the Holocaust Museum, do Arlington, do the monuments. But if you can work it in, go to Gettysburg.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Mike. KBOI News Time 9:55. Something to think about with Mike Rogers. Coming up next, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Check them out on the World Wide Web at boisechurch.org. See you tomorrow.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
Following the science, except when it's inconvenient. Republicans typically get hammered by Democrats and the media for being anti-science. This is primarily because of the dispute over human impact on climate change. But when it comes to energy and things like genetically modified food, science seems to get thrown away by the left, and the media largely ignores it. The United States Army Corps of Engineers recommended that an oil pipeline be allowed to move forward in South Dakota. The pipeline projected spanned about 1,100 miles and was projected to transport around 470,000 barrels of oil a day. A portion was to cross a lake upstream of the Standing Rock Sioux Indian Reservation. Environmental protesters found an issue du jour. The Army Corps of Engineers found that the company seeking to build the pipeline had met all of the numerous requirements, and the scientists and engineers found it could be safely built. The administration decided to deny it. Might be good politics, but it's bad science. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.